Today is a special feast. It's the feast of the chair of St. Peter the Apostle. The Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week I went to a wake of a neighbor. It wasn't anything very elaborate. It was held in a church hall. There was a simple table with a white tablecloth on it, and some photographs of Lou, the man who died, and of his family. And then I noticed it, the padded kitchen rocking chair that Lou often sat in. It was right next to the table where the people were milling around, talking to one another and looking at the photographs. Most of the people I knew, but as the evening went on, I realized that some of the men were part of Lou's Alcoholic Anonymous community, a group that he had been involved with for the last 20 years. Allie, Lou's wife, was the first to speak. She began by saying how Lou in his early days, before he was part of Alcoholics Anonymous, would have her call into work most every Monday morning to make excuses for him. She'd say he was sick, or he had a touch of the flu, or that his back was giving him some trouble. As you probably have guessed, all of these excuses were code words for the fact that Lou had a royal hangover. As time went on, Allie prayed for wisdom and to know what to do and to have the courage to do it. Then one day she knew. When Lou asked her to call the office and to say that he wasn't feeling well, she refused, and she told Lou she wouldn't lie for him one more time. She wasn't sure what his reaction was going to be, so just in case, she stood by the front door so she could make her escape. But Lou took it. And it was that one decision of Allie's that got the ball rolling. Or as Allie said that evening, "I knew it was the grace of God that gave me the wisdom to know what to do and the strength to do it." Within 2 weeks, Lou's boss had Lou in substance abuse program, and it was the beginning of a new life for Lou and Allie and their family. After Allie spoke, most of the men got up and shared their story, too. One man thanked Lou for not only saving his life, but also giving his son back his father, a father who now, since he was sober, could be present and attentive to his family. And the stories went on, one after the other, of how Lou had helped save their life, their jobs, and their families. As I sat there listening, I found myself looking at Lou's padded kitchen chair, a listening chair from which no judgments were passed and no resentments held, a listening chair that was always available no matter what time of day or night. If you called Lou, he'd say, "Come on over, the coffee's on and the door is open." Hours were spent in that kitchen. Lou sitting in his usual chair, listening and encouraging. By the time I left the hall that evening, I felt as though I had been at a canonization. Not of a perfect person, but of a struggling disciple. One who had suffered greatly, recognized his dependency on God, and through his suffering had become a person of integrity and compassion. That small padded kitchen chair might sound like a far cry from the feast we're celebrating today, the chair of Peter, because this feast evokes for many of us the image of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and a huge statue of St. Peter sitting on the throne-like chair, stately and strong. It's a reminder of Peter's authority. But perhaps the small padded kitchen chair is not as far away from the chair of Peter as we might at first think. Peter's statue is large, it's impressive. People come from all over the world to stand before the chair of Peter, place their hands on his barely reachable foot, and pray. Peter probably would have preferred a smaller chair, something more accessible. Because even though the chair of Peter is a symbol of his authority, the Basilica in Rome is also the place that is traditionally thought of as the plot on which Peter was martyred, the place that marks Peter's long, tough journey of faith, that unsure road from the Sea of Galilee, where he was first called by Jesus, to that place in Rome where he was willingly martyred. That road was neither smooth nor easy. Perhaps that's why Peter has always been such a popular saint, because like us, he was slow to catch on, easily discouraged. He denied Jesus when his safety was threatened, and after the death of Jesus, he went out fishing, tempted, it seems, to go back to his old way of life. It's easy to identify with that Peter. We understand his fragility. We know what it feels like to have hesitant steps. But that doesn't block us from also relating to the Peter in today's gospel, because we, like Peter, have also had glimpses into who Jesus really is. We can remember times in our lives when we have professed our belief. Our lives might not have been as dramatic or as public as Peter or even as Allie and Lou, but we, like them, have felt the power of God's life-giving spirit move in us, deepen our faith, encourage us to change, strengthen our trust. And like Jesus in the gospel today, we can name those moments of grace, those piercing moments of clarity and assurance and comfort. There were no shortcuts to discipleship for Peter, and there are no shortcuts for us either. But this feast of the chair of Peter suggests to us a way to deepen our discipleship, whether we sit in a chair of authority or a simple padded kitchen chair. This Sunday Lent begins. So often we think of it as a time to give up something or to do something. But I'd like to suggest that on this feast of the chair of Peter, which reminds us of his discipleship, that we too become disciples of the chair, taking on the posture of a listener. I suggest that we become disciples who, like Peter, listen to the word of God and ponder it. Be silent. Listen to what God is saying to us. Where is God calling us in our lives at this time? And then, perhaps, by the end of Lent, we might be able to answer the question Jesus asks his disciples then and us now: who do you say that I am?